Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of VoiceOvers On Demand. My name is Terry Daniel, speaking to you from Minneapolis. Trish Bassani is coming at you live. Isn't that like an 80s term? Does anybody use that anymore? Coming at you live. Hey, this is Terry Daniel coming straight at you.
I'm too young to remember the 80s, so I don't really, I have no idea what you're talking about, Terry.
Trish, exactly how old are you and what is your social security number?
Yes, I believe coming at you is from the 80s, but that's okay. We're hip here on VoiceOvers On Demand, so we're bringing it back.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you have to say that you're hip, it usually means that you're not. It's never a bad thing. But before we bore our guest to tears, we have Liz Dineshnera online from New Jersey. She's a very talented voiceover artist. Liz, are you with us?
I am right here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. How's everything going out east?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I understand it's not quite as cold as where you are, though. But see, I'm a skier, so I want cold.
I got to tell you, it's been absolutely, you know, we have awful winters in Minnesota, but this is one of the worst ones I remember in a long time where you just like the second you go outside, you're angry and you just want to throw a punch at somebody.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, it's just an image. Thank you.
Yeah, the average temperature's been about four above.
It's
dark and cold, and it's just been miserable.
It's a beautiful sunny day here. Yeah, and that's during the day. There you go. It's a beautiful sunny day here. Cold, but beautiful and sunny.
Well, tell us first of all, tell us exactly how you got started in the voiceover industry, and tell us a little bit about what your niche is in the business.
Sure. Well, I started in voiceover. Actually, what's interesting, Trish and I actually started at the same radio station. Different times, because yes, I am older than her. but we found out that we actually started at the same radio station. I wasn't actually on the air. My voice was. I was actually the production director and copywriter at the radio station. And I was there for 5 years. And I really fell in love with the production part and the voiceover part when I was there. I loved putting spots together and voicing them for the clients. And I still got a kick out of, you know, driving home and hearing my voice on the radio. And I still do. I think it's the coolest thing.
And which awful corporate monarchy did you work for?
It was not a corporate monarchy at the time, actually. It was a small market radio station that was owned by two guys. And then they did sell it to a large corporate, I think it's part of Clear Channel now.
Oh, you said it.
Sorry.
I rebuke you.
I'm sorry, but it was owned by the two guys when I was there. When Trish was there, I think it was owned by a corporate monarchy.
No, not quite, but almost.
Not quite. Oh, okay. But I was there for 5 years, and then I decided that it was just getting too crazy. This is insanity. And I left to actually go out on my own to go freelance. Unfortunately, life got in the way. My mom, this was back in 94, my mom had a massive stroke. And so I basically dropped off the face of the earth for about 18 months to take care of her. And then also subsequently, yeah, this is going to be so uplifting, my dad actually developed Alzheimer's, so I was taking care of both my parents. And then ran out of money and so needed to find a job again and ended up working for a corporate, not a corporate actually, it was not corporate, it was a recording studio where we did corporate recordings.
Right.
And I worked there for 9 years. And I ran the studio and I did... I was behind the glass. I did some voiceover. And again, I always loved working with the voice talent. And actually, that was my classroom. I spent 9 years listening to the best talent in the New York area. They would come in. They would do voice recordings for everything from telephony work to corporate narrations. And it was great. I would sit there and I really developed my ear of what a good voiceover is supposed to sound like. And that was just an amazing experience, and I learned a lot. And then after 9 years, I left there and said, okay, I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to go freelance. And that was in 2005, and that's what I've been doing. I've been a freelance voice talent since 2005, And basically what my niche is really the niche that I worked in at that recording studio. I do a lot of on-hold work, message on hold. And because of my experience caring for both my parents, I do a lot of medical narrations because I learned a lot of medical words. I learned, you know, transesophageal echo and, you know, magnetic resonance imaging. And, you
know, we could talk about that all night long.
Yes, exactly. Right. So I do a lot of most of what I do is corporate. I do commercial. I do some commercial, some radio commercial and TV work and TV audio. But most of what I do is on the corporate side, on the what they call the industrial side.
Exactly. Katie, Liz, please go lay down. I have to apologize to both of you because I was too cold and lazy to actually go into the studio this morning. So we had to do this from my home setup, and my dog is absolutely bothering the hell out of me right now.
Aw. Well, I have my kitty cat Maggie right next to me, so.
Yeah, she's just she's tired of the winter too, and we just can't go outside and run around, and she's so unbelievably bored.
Aww.
But enough about my problems.
Liz, you said that your niche is mostly IVR and phone prompts and phone messaging. Is there a particular territory that you seem to be most successful in?
Actually, what's really interesting, one thing which I didn't mention, which I guess I really should have, which is a rather large part of my business, is I am lucky enough to be bilingual. I speak French fluently. I grew up speaking French. In fact, I've been speaking French longer than I've been speaking English. I learned English when I was like 2 or 3 years old. So a lot of what I do in terms of IVR work, more and more, I do quite a bit of IVR work and message on hold work and narrations for Canada, because my accent in French is basically it's neutral. It's sort of the equivalent of broadcast English. It's a neutral form of French. It's neither a rich Quebec, you know, Canadian French accent. It's not a French from France accent, even though I went to a French high school in New York and I spent my junior year of college at a university in Paris. My accent is neutral, and the Canadian market really loves the fact that they can have one talent with a neutral English voice, a neutral English delivery, and a neutral French delivery. So I do quite a bit of work there. And that was actually a real revelation for me because I really didn't, and this is, I think, a real marketing lesson for me, is that you really have to go where the market sees you. It's sort of, they say it's sort of the ear, it's in the ear of the beholder. I really never have thought of looking at the Canadian market because I didn't think I had a Canadian accent, and I don't. But the fact that the market likes that, I found out by starting to audition for Canadian jobs and getting booked for them. And so that's, I think, a lesson for people when they're starting out is don't decide what you're going to do ahead of time. You know, try to figure out what you like to do and try for different things, and the market will tell you what you're good at.
That's an amazing point, because it's funny because I have friends of mine that are from the Minneapolis area. They question what I'm doing for a living, and sometimes they don't believe me because they always come at me and say, well, I never hear you on the air here, or I never hear you on television. Right. And to be totally honest with you, I don't get, you know, a lot of work in the Minneapolis area. My territories are all around the country and all around the globe. I do a lot of work in Dublin and also in the UK. And it's just amazing how there's certain areas where you kind of fall into where people fall in love with your voice and it works for them. And it's pretty wild that way. I don't.
It is. And you get, and a lot of what I do also, I do a lot of e-learning. And so, you know, a lot of people, I've done, like I said, a lot of e-learning in terms of training for nurses and doctors and techs, you know. Again, that comes back to my being exposed to all this medical terminology. And I do that through studios that that are really into that market, and that's all over. Again, that can be in the U.S., that can be in Canada, you know, that can be anywhere. So you really do, I think, when you're starting out in this, people, of course, the first thing people say is, oh, I want to, you know, I want to be on the radio and I want to hear, you know, my voice on commercials and on TV, and that's great. You know, I mean, I know Trish does a lot of that. But you've really got to see where the market says, okay, we like you for this type. And if you fight that too much, then you might not be getting as much work as you could.
So for those voice talents who really are trying to break into the bilingual market, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do, and you know, this goes back to the same thing, is to get a demo made. And yeah. And really, in terms of bilingual, it's the same thing as it is for English. You need a different demo for the different markets that you're going for. You're not going to present your commercial demo to someone who does medical narrations. So you need to find scripts that are in obviously your language that are narration. You can also do obviously a commercial demo. If you go, there are a lot of websites that you can check out. I mean, one of the things that I always tell people if they're starting out is you need to go online and you need to listen to demos, to good demos. And that can be anything from onvoicebank.net. It can be on voices.com or voice123 where you can listen to you type in foreign demo and you'll get a bunch of people that speak Spanish, that speak French, you know, that speak a bunch of different languages. Find the language that you want to record in and listen to those demos. I mean, if you go to my website, which is hireliz.com, you'll hear my demos in English and French, and I have them all listed on my website.
Liz, didn't you read the rules? You're not supposed to plug your own website on this show. until we tell you that it's all right.
Yeah, well, you know, I never follow rules. You know me. Not only listen to mine, but listen, find out, you know, Google foreign talent. If you use, I mean, I use Google is you know, always up on my website. I mean, on my computer. Google foreign talent, Google Spanish talent, French talent, Swedish talent, whatever it is, and find out what other people are doing. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, but you need to know what's out there. And I think that's really important, is to see what's out there and what sounds good and what's working.
Liz, well, you seem to be pretty good at marketing. I think me and Terry tend to think of ourselves as savvy entrepreneur internet marketers.
Oh, yeah. I think we're the best.
Absolutely.
No.
But is there any particular techniques that have worked for you so far?
Yes, spending every minute of every day on the computer.
Isn't that the truth?
You know.
We can all relate to that.
Yeah. I think, honestly, there are a lot of marketing techniques out there. You know, one guy that I know is constantly making cold calls, and that's one way of doing it, obviously. For me, what I call marketing is building relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I met Terry. Yeah. You know, you need to build relationships with people. And what that means is you need to get out there. You need to get on email, voiceover boards, you know, the internet boards. You need to search the net for different, like either Facebook or you've got, you know, all the different areas that where people are, and you need to get to know people that are in the business. You also need to meet people face to face. I mean, you need to, if you know that there are some people that are like you guys when you guys came into town. I mean, if you know that there are people in the business that you can go and have coffee with, you know, buy them a cup of coffee, buy them a beer, you know, do it. You can't expect, I think a lot of people that are starting out in this business, as you know, everybody, you know, that you say you're a voice talent, they're like, oh, everybody says I have a great voice. How do I do that? You know, it's really not a question of sitting back and waiting for people to call you. You have to get out there and tell people, this is who I am, this is what I do. Anywhere you go, carry your business cards everywhere. Never leave the house without your business card.
And your demo, because you can fit it.
And if you can, your demo, if you can fit it. You know, always have something with you that you can hand to somebody and say, this is who I am. I mean, I have a friend of mine who met a client in line at the airport. Mm-hmm. No kidding. You know, I mean, we always laugh about that, but he met a client in line at the airport.
And I met one on the train. Yeah.
There you go. You know, you never know where you're going to meet people, and tell everybody that you know. Also, the other thing is you need to join, in my opinion, you need to join organizations that are also in the industry. I mean, I'm a member of a great organization called MCAI, which is the Media Communication Association International, which is a great international organization of people that are video producers, voice talent, TV producers, that really tell the story for hire, basically. They tell the story of anybody who wants their story told, whether it be TV commercials, corporate videos, whatever. So get to know the people in the industry. You can't just sit back and wait for people to call you. It's just not going to happen that way.
Well, what I like to do is I like to take a megaphone and stand in the middle of Grand Central Station and announce to everybody that I am a working voiceover talent.
That'll work. Okay, so you've got what? You've got Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 to 3.
Okay, exactly.
Wednesdays and Fridays.
You're listening to VoiceOvers on Demand with Terry and Trish. Our guest this afternoon is Liz Deneshnera. She resides in New Jersey, a successful working voice talent, speaking in English and French.
Oui.
Let me ask, let's get away from the voiceover business just for a second, because I know that you're involved with an organization called, is it called Caregivers Community? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Actually, Caregivers Community is another website that I started. When my mother got sick, it was something none of us expected. I mean, my mother was so amazingly vibrant and she was auditing classes at Columbia in political science, you know, the year before her stroke. You know, she was 78 and she was taking classes in Columbia. And so when she got sick, it was just a complete, she was the rock on which our family stood. I mean, she really was the one that kept everything together. And so when she got sick, it was something that I had no idea how it would completely take over my life. I mean, caring for her and then subsequently caring for my dad, spontaneity left my life 13 years ago. You know, it's like having a kid. I mean, I don't have kids, but if I want to go anywhere, I need to make sure that I have mom coverage, that I have someone here that's going to take care of my mom while I'm gone because I can't leave her alone.
Right.
And
understandable.
So, you know, after doing this for 10 years, I decided, well, I'm obviously not the only one. You know, they're actually, believe it or not, according to stats that the National Family Caregivers Association put out, there are over 50 million family caregivers in the U.S.
Wow.
Everywhere I go, people say, oh, I want to be a voice talent. And the next thing is, oh, yeah, I care for my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my husband, my kid. You know, everyone that I meet practically is caring for somebody. Right. And so what I wanted to do is put up this website that is really just another place that people can go to get information. It's got links to a lot of different websites. It's got it's just a place to go that you can then go to other places from there. And to me, you know, it has my whole story up there of how I, you know, started taking care of them. And for me, it's really a labor of love, just to be able, and people have emailed me saying, thank you so much, because I really didn't know where to start. It's a great place to start. And that's really what it is. It's something that I do because, a lot of family caregivers, we say that voice talent, you know, we're alone in our little padded rooms, you know, family caregivers feel really alone. They don't realize there are so many people out there that are doing the same thing. And so that's why that's there. You know, it's really something, you know, I try to keep that as up to date as I can. And really it's just a labor of love as well. So.
And what's the website for that?
It's caregiverscommunity.com, caregiversplural community.com. And you know, you were talking about marketing too. I mean, one of the things that I did for that is I also joined an organization that I had mentioned before, the National Family Caregivers Association, which is a wonderful organization for family caregivers. They're great advocates, and they really work towards getting legislation passed to help us in what we do. Because, you know, what happens is, and when I was working full time, one of the things that happens is that if you're caring for somebody that's ill, and you try to do that, and work 5 days a week, you start missing more work trying to get out to all the doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and all of that. And so I actually had to cut back my full-time hours. I actually worked 4 days a week, 40-plus hours in those 4 days, to have that one day where I could take my parents to their doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, you know, everything that needed, pay the bills that needed to get paid and all of that. And that's also one of the reasons that I went freelance is the flexibility of being a voice talent, of working from my home studio. You know, if I have to, you know, I'll do recordings at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, yeah. which I have done, because it allows me the flexibility of getting the work done. But if something comes up, if there's a doctor's appointment that I need to go to, I can do it. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of this job, that I love what I do, and I can work it around my mother's needs.
Trish and I have had that conversation many a times, how this, just doing this allows you to just have so much time for other things you wouldn't be able to do, obviously, if you had a 9-to-5 cubicle job.
Exactly. Oh yeah. And it's fun. You know, that's the thing is that, and I think this is another thing that I would tell people, that I tell people when they ask me, well, you know, how do I get into voiceover? The first thing, if somebody asks you that, the first thing that I think about is, well, don't get into this for the money right away. You know,
exactly.
You have to have a passion for this. You really do. Yeah. Because it's just like any other job, you know? You're running a business. You've got to get the business cards. You've got to get your website up. You've got to get, you know, you've got telephone charges. You've got internet charges. You've got the demo production. You've got the training that you have to keep going. It's not like you can get your computer mic and sit in front of your computer and talk, you know, and read a script.
Well, one of the things that I've always done, especially with, you know, at the birth of establishing a relationship with a client, if I'm hired to do, just for an example here, like let's say if I'm hired to do like a 8-to-10-minute narration project, I'll offer to do that client's voicemail for free as, you know, as added value or, you know, sort of throwing something else in there, you know, that they're going to remember. You know, obviously they're going to, you know, like the project that I've done, but they're gonna remember that. Oh, and he said he'd do our on hold message for free.
Right. Sure. Take my work. Go ahead. Take my work away from me, Tony. Go ahead. You know. But no, absolutely, giving that value added to the client, and that's the other thing is, I love working with the clients that I have, and getting, again, building that relationship of making yourself stand out to them. You know, as opposed to somebody else. Absolutely. You need to run this as a business. You need to run it in a way that you're going to be remembered and called back and get that repeat business. Because you're not looking, if one of the guys that is on one of the boards that I'm on wrote something really cool. He goes, you're doing this for the long haul, for a lifetime. You're not going to just get this gig. You're looking to get that repeat business. You're looking to get to build that relationship to become a client. And so it's really, it's something that you really need to love what you do, and you need to not go in it, because really, if you love this as much as the three of us, I think, do, you will succeed at it. If you go in saying, I'm going to make $1 million and then I'm going to get out, you're not going to, you know, it's really just part of just loving. And that's it. I mean, I spent 7 years on and off, I think 3 full time. I worked in probably one of the most bureaucratic places you could ever work, which was for the French Embassy in New York City. I worked at the French Embassy trade office in New York, and I learned a lot there. But it was a job, 9-to-5 job, in a cubicle, helping French companies set up business in the U.S. And it was a learning experience, but I left there after having actually just gotten a promotion to trade attaché, and I left like 2 weeks later to get a 50% pay cut to go into radio, you know?
Exactly.
And people thought I was insane, including my mother. She was not thrilled. I was 25 years old, making a good salary, 5 weeks vacation, and I left to, you know, make no money with a week's vacation. And I loved it. I loved it. I've never regretted it. So again, you need to find what you do. And there are people that love being in the corporate world, and God bless them. You know, I'm so glad I don't have to wear a power suit and heels anymore.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yep.
Well, I mean, when I was in corporate America, I didn't exactly wear heels, but
I was wondering about to ask that, you know, gee.
But
were
you know,
Manolos?
I tell you what I don't miss about the corporate world is some goofball in a suit that's got half the smarts that I have telling me that I need to be somewhere at a certain time, mm-hmm. whether that be for a meeting or something else. But
now now our clients just tell us that I need this bike soon.
And it's, you know, sometimes it's always at the worst time. And here's a voiceover tip for all of you out here. Here's the worst thing you can have for lunch.
Oh,
Before you do actually have to do a real quick voiceover that somebody needs immediately, a mozzarella meatball lean pocket.
There you go.
It is absolutely
the. For advertising.
I was in a hurry, so I inhaled a couple of those babies yesterday, and then somebody needed something right away, and my voice was so hoarse for about an hour. We all say to stay away from dairy products and all that stuff, but really. Mozzarella meatball lean pockets. Don't eat them before you record.
There's a tip for you. And believe me, I hear you. And I'm, you know, I'm part French. I love any type of cheese that's out there.
Right.
And, you know, to sit there during the day, sometimes like, oh, I just want a little piece of cheese on some bread, you know. And I have to, like, no, I need to record.
Absolutely. I think we're pretty much out of time, but Liz, you know, I wanted to thank you for your time, and then it was wonderful meeting you in person in New York City.
Oh, it was great.
We'll definitely have to do that again.
Very cool. Now, this was great. This was absolutely awesome. And actually, if I can add one other thing.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I also tell people is that besides being online is read anything and everything you can find on voiceover. There are more and more books out there now on voiceover. Get as much information as you can, because you need to know what's out there. You need to know, listen to this podcast, obviously.
Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome. But yeah, I guess the bottom line is just get information just like any other business. Get as much information as you can, and decide if this is what you want to do.
Exactly. Did you know, Liz, that Trish and I were nominated for a Voicy Award?
You were.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just trying to get the word out. I'm just trying to get the word out there that you people need to get off your ass and start voting for us.
Well, okay. If I'll vote for you as best team, if you vote for me for foreign.
Perfect. See, that's what I think. That's what I think is going on out there. People are making deals like this.
See, it's all alliances. You know, baby. All who alliances, exactly. It's all who you know.
Liz, thank you very much. You're welcome to come on with us anytime you feel like it.
Anytime.
Have a beautiful weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon.
You got it. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much.
That was Liz Dineshnura here on VoiceOvers on Demand. My name is Terry Daniel.
And I'm Trish Bassani. Thanks for listening. And we're going to have Rob Singlimpaglia up next with the entertainment update. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Rob Singlimpaglia for VoiceOvers on Demand with another entertainment update. Well, here's a story that makes you say, I'm proud to be an American. Danny Glover has been convicted on Thursday, January 24th in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, for trespassing at the Sheraton Falls Hotel during a union rally back in September of 2006. The rally was part of a protest in support of increased salaries and improved working conditions for hotel workers who were located in both the U.S. and Canada. Sentencing is scheduled for February 8th. Speaking of salaries and working conditions, the writer's strike continues, but it appears to be near a conclusion. The directors, Lionsgate Films, and Marvel Entertainment all reached interim deals with the writers this past week, and closed-door meetings have been occurring since Wednesday. It really appears that momentum is building towards a final resolution. Finally, on a sad note, the entertainment world is still in shock about the passing of one of its young, up-and-coming talents, Heath Ledger. And of course, our sympathies here at VoiceOvers on Demand go out to Heath's family. Well, until next time, this is Rob Singlimpaglia for VoiceOvers on Demand.
That was Rob Singlimpaglia with the entertainment update. And Terry, what'd you think of Liz?
Oh, I thought she was great. It's, you know, we've been real fortunate to have some great guests on this show lately, and we thank all of them for that. And if you have any ideas on who you think would be a great guest, or if there's topics that we have not discussed yet that you would like to see get discussed, feel free to visit our websites and send us an email from there, and we'll do our best to get that on.
Definitely. And we just actually confirmed our next guest. His name is Phil Cassess. He's an agent in New York City, and he is representing an agency called TalentWorks. It's his own. So we'll interviewing him next week. Yeah, it'll be great.
All right, Trish, have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you very soon.
Hi, it's Trish, and you've been listening to VoiceOvers On Demand with Terry and Trish. We appreciate you tuning in to our podcast. Join us every week as we discuss different topics of the voiceover industry. And for more information on both Terry and I's voiceover demos, resume, etc., check our websites. For me, Trish Bassani, it's voiceoversbytrish.com. For Terry Daniel, universalvoicetalent.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.